This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, with 2010 London Symposium Proposition. And we say prayer, introspection, and understanding. Prayer, introspection, and understanding. How do we experience prayer, introspection, and how do we experience understanding? How do we experience prayer, introspection? Now, we have just had a trip to the Gobi Desert, and there we found that we had our mantra, our positive statement, our affirmation, which moved us into introspection very quickly, very beautifully. Some of us heard what it was, and some of us wish we had it. But that doesn't mean it's not there. It's there. It's merely a matter of tuning into it. Now, what is your prayer introspection? To pray is what? What does it mean to pray?
To know that what is, and to affirm it.
Yeah. What do you think it is? To pray. Prayer. What is prayer?
To confirm. That's
prayer is a confirmation. Mm-hmm. Well, that is those things. It is. Prayer is the revelation or confirmation or awareness of who we are right now. I am whole and perfect. That's a prayer. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. That's a prayer. I am independently wealthy. That's a prayer. Now, is the prayer supplication?
No.
No. Why is a prayer not supplication?
It's already done.
It's already done. You're not asking for it. You're asking to be aware of it having been done. We are so accustomed to thinking something has to come and happen. We're attracting things to us, we're magnetizing things to us. And that is the old-fashioned way. That is the old-fashioned thinking. Because can you magnetize something to you that you already have?
No.
Not at all. Can you be aware of something that you already have?
No, because I am it.
You can be aware of it, but you can't magnetize it.
Okay.
You can be aware of what you are, but you can't magnetize it to yourself. To magnetize to yourself means it's separate from you. I'm going to take my magnet and I'm going to draw it to me. I'm going to bring it into my experience. And to be aware of it is that it's already there and I'm opening up my eyes. Now, how many people would walk down the street and then all of a sudden they'd say, "Huh? What's that?" And they'd look to the side and they'd see a man. And he's just an ordinary man. "Oh, he's something special. Oh, he's something special. Oh," you see, there's something going on there. No magnetism, but your ideal friend, mate, whatever, is right there. And you don't even know who he is. You know, he doesn't even know who he is, you know, that he's your mate. He doesn't even know. And so you are tuned in. You are becoming aware because you are available to be aware. You say, "I know that I know that I know." And then you know. And that flows right into your consciousness, flows right into your experience. It's like you fall in love. And when you fall in love, you know it. Now, that love should be eternal. That love should be everlasting. That love, but you start putting priorities on that love. You start saying, "It's got to be this way and it's got to be that way." And as soon as you start saying how it's got to be, you mess it up. Now, if you could learn to say it is, then in its ideal form, it'd be yours. Now, prayer and introspection, how do we tune ourselves into prayer introspection where we are aware that it's already done, it's already existing, and it's already available for us? Now, I say, "I have my beautiful new Bentley right now." Nice, huh? And so I say, "I have my beautiful new Bentley right now." Well, physically and demonstratively, I don't have it. It's not there. How will I bring it forth in my life? How will I say, I reveal that right now? I reveal my perfect Bentley right now. I reveal that in my life right now. Why am I saying Bentley? Why don't I say some other name? But why am I saying I reveal it right now? Right now, why do I say I reveal it? I say that I reveal it for one reason. I say that I reveal it because that is what I believe. That is what I am. Now, you say, I love that girl. She's beautiful. I bet she would never even give me a tumble, though, you know, never even say hi, never even say anything to me. But I love her. I love her. And did you tell her that? No. Well, go tell her that. I love you. And she says, huh, well, who are you? You know. And there's no charisma there. There's no magic there. And you say, well, how come magic happened on my part but didn't happen on her part? Well, it didn't happen on her part for one simple reason. It didn't happen on your part. Yours was wishful thinking that she'd be yours, not because the magic was there, but because you just thought she was a nice person and you'd like to know her better. You'd like to have a relationship with her. And this is what you do with your Bentley. This is what you do with your dreams of things. You wish that they could be there, but they're not really there. Now, when do you know what introspection is, of a knowingness that it is done and it is your reality and it's what you want in life? When do you know that? When do you really have that in your heart? When do you really have that in your awareness? When do you know that? And the answer to that is, you know that when you don't even think about it. You don't lust after something, you don't want something, you don't anticipate something, you don't go out and manipulate to get something. It's just yours. It's just yours. And that you're not demonstrating at this moment doesn't make any difference at all. The thing is, if it is yours, then let it be. Let it be. And it will reveal itself in its perfect way. It will come forth in your life in some fantastic manner that you never dreamed possible. Now, not because it is something you want, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Why do you think you desire a Bentley? Why do you desire? Why don't you desire a nice Ford or a nice Mercedes or a nice whatever? You know, why don't you just desire that? Because Bentleys happen to be what you desire right now. Not desire, but what you appreciate, what you are. It's your thing. It's your type of thing. Okay, now you have this desire in you. And it's really not a desire. It's because it's already yours. You can smell it. You can taste it. You can touch it. You can be it. It's already yours. But the thing is, you haven't got it in your. You haven't got the key in your hand. Now, how do you get to the point of having the key in your hand? That's what everybody would like to know. Now, you get to the point of having the key in your hand by simply recognizing it is done. What do they say? Claim it and name it. Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it. Do you go out in the world, hey, I got my new Bentley. Hey, I got this, I got that. No, that's not the way. That's not the way you claim it and name it. You claim it and name it by just naturally. It's yours. And yes, I have it now. I have it now. But you don't talk to people about it. You don't share it with people. You don't tell other people. Because if they see the appearance that it's not there, they're going to say you don't have it. And you don't need anyone saying that at any time. No. If a mother... And this is very easy to see. If a mother wants to have a perfect baby, she says, I have the ideal baby. She doesn't say, I have the ideal husband. She doesn't say, I'm the ideal mother. She says, I have the ideal baby. It has nothing to do with her genes and chromosomes and her husband's genes and chromosomes and all that sort of stuff. It has only to do with what? Her statement, her claim, what? I have the perfect child. I have the perfect child. Now, you can understand that because it is more something that could happen, you know. And so the baby is born, and the baby is absolutely perfect. And then comes the tough work. The tough work is, can that mother always see that baby as absolutely perfect? Can that mother say to the child, you are ideal, you are perfect, you are magnificent, you are wonderful, you are so fantastic in every way. Can the mother say that, or is the mother going to fall into the ordinary way of thinking and saying, why don't you behave? Why don't you do what's right for you? I ask you to do this and you don't pay any attention as years go on. And of course, what's happening? The baby is not the ideal baby. The child is not the ideal child. The child is like any other child. Now, can that mother ever see that child as the ideal child again? Sure. If she wants to. Now, why would she want to do it? Because it's the truth. Can a mother ever see a child as an ideal child when the child is not an ideal child? Oh, yes, of course. Does a mother have to say from the time the child is born that it's an ideal child? No. Should it? It'd be nice if you did, because it would be quite pleasant. But there's only now. There's only this time, this moment. So from this moment, you may have been having all the difficulty in the world seeing your Bentley, all the difficulty in the world seeing your ideal child, all the difficulty in the world seeing whatever you dreamed about it as your reality, you know, what you dreamed was already so. But the moment you start saying now, and say, there's no past, no present, no future, just now, now I say I have my ideal child. Now I say I have my Bentley, whatever it is. Now, you say, well, maybe for your highest and best is to have a Rolls Royce, or to have a Cadillac, or to have a Lincoln, or something like that. Maybe for your highest and best is to have a Maserati, you know. Maybe for your highest and best it's, hey, my highest and best is what I think. My highest and best is what I know for myself. If I say Bentley, then that's my highest and best. Now, if I start thinking that maybe principle or the law or the divine wants me to have something better, maybe there's something more wonderful, then I'm messing it up. I'm messing it up because I haven't got the conviction to say that the Bentley is mine right now. Now, you say, well, Herb, if you're teaching this stuff and if you're sort of demonstrating this stuff to a degree, why don't you demonstrate it for us? You know, why don't you have a Bentley? Have it right here, sitting right outside the house, and have it be yours right now. Well, you see, if I do that, then the next thing you're going to say is, what's the next thing you're going to say?
I have mine.
No, Herb, you can do it, but I can't.
Can't do it, yeah.
See, you can do it because you're a master or something like that, you know, but I can't. And then what will you do? You will stop working on it. You'll stop demonstrating. You'll stop putting it in motion. Herb can do it, but I can't. The guru can do it, I can't. Jesus can do it, but I can't. And that's why Jesus didn't perform all these miracles in front of the people. He performed some, but nominal ones. Nothing really significant. Do you think Jesus could have said, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, and have peace be evident throughout the world for the entire lifetime, you say, of the universe? For the entire lifetime of the universe, there's peace on earth? Wouldn't that be something? My. Well, for Jesus, it is so. For Jesus, it is so. That's all he knows. That's all he experiences. That's all he has. Now, others don't see it because they like to talk about war. But Jesus doesn't even know those others. He has no association with them. Now, the Bible says that if a sparrow falls, God knows. Well, if a sparrow falls, God knows. But the thing is, God knows everything. Because why would God know if a sparrow fell quickly? Because the sparrow is
God.
So, if a sparrow falls, God knows about it. Now, what's your answer to that? The sparrow is God. Of course God knows when a sparrow falls. And if you cut your hand, God knows about it because you're God. If you have a wonderful, blessed life in every beautiful way, God knows about it. God was there planning the whole thing and supporting it. Of course, because you're God. See, we are ludicrous about this. We don't really believe it. We don't really have the consciousness that it's so. Our introspection does not want to let us claim that and name it because we feel that we're being facetious, we're being improper. We're saying something about that we're God and we're wonderful and one. And all of our life, we have been taught that. All of our life. Now, when do you want to stop going living your life by that attitude? When do you want to stop living your life by the attitude that you're not worthy? Oh, yeah. That's what you do. You're really saying you're not worthy. Now, is Sybil worthy of being a citizen of the world right now?
She is. I am. She is.
Now, what did you just say? Please?
I said she is.
What did you just say?
I am.
I am.
No, you just said she is, and you said I am. Now, what did you say?
I am.
What did you say? What did you say?
I am.
How dare you say that?
Because I am.
Not because I am. I am.
I am.
See, there's no because. I am. Now, if I confront you and I give you a hard time and you say, did I say the wrong thing? you know you said the right thing. Stand up for it. Believe it. And if somebody says, you are God? You say, isn't it wonderful being God? I am. And of course, we don't want to say, isn't it wonderful? You say, it is wonderful being God. It is wonderful being the divine. It's wonderful being the creative cause of the universe. It's wonderful. Oh, it's so great, you know. And what will your friends say? Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Why do they say cuckoo? Because they do not believe that any human being could be God-like or God and anything. And they don't believe they're God. And so therefore, nobody else is God. But let me tell you something else. Mrs. Sybil Agabwa, let me tell you one other thing. You do not have any people in your world who do not believe in you. Every person in Mrs. Agabwa's world thinks she is divine, thinks she is fantastic, thinks she is the creator, thinks she is the guru, thinks she is the Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, the only time anybody might not think she's Jesus, that could happen, is if she allowed herself to think that she was not. Otherwise, they can't think anything other than that. Only that you are divine, that you are wonderful. Now, can you keep that all the time in your consciousness as your only point of reference?
Yeah.
Okay, but then this is what it's about. When we are hesitant at any time to say that we are divine, then we have to be real careful because the world will say, well, you should know about yourself. You should know who you are. Now, divine introspection, prayer introspection, how can you apply that to yourself? What is your prayer? Your prayer is, I am that I am. Okay? Nice.
Yes.
I am that I am. Is that simple? Is that complete? Very much so. Okay, I am that I am. Now, what is the introspection part? The introspection part is the knowing part that it's so. The knowing that it's so. Your prayer introspection is the affirmation of truth about yourself and knowing that it is so. Knowing that it's so. How do you know that it's so? Did somebody tell you? Or did you know in your heart that it's so? Or do you affirm it and claim it and name it and say that that's so for you? How do you know that it's so? How do you know who and what you are? How do you know what your goal is in life? How do you know where you're going? How do you know if all the things you're talking about are not just a lark, are not just a joke, How do you know if all the things that you're thinking and dreaming and thinking are so real are nothing but a phantasm, you know? How do you know? And she knows, I help her a little bit there. She knows because she says to herself, I am
that I
am. I am that I am. I am God. I am that I am. I am that I am. I am. I am it. I am all. And is there anything more to be? No. Okay. Demonstrate $1 million. Demonstrate a perfect child. Demonstrate this. And you say, that's no problem. My home in Nigeria is worth at least $2 million. My daughter is the ideal child, and I have two sons that are ideal sons, ideal children. I have a husband who is on another dimension now. He's an ideal man. Oh, we had our discussions and arguments, and we had our disagreements, but the thing is, he's the ideal man. He had his own understanding, and I had my understanding, and we have a right to have that. That's part of our nature, is to have our uniqueness. If Sam and she were 100% alike, they would have no fun together, you know? Because who likes to be with their genius? I mean, their not genius, their their twin, you know, their absolute like twin. They don't like it. Because it creates a problem for them. They like to be by themselves. They like to do their own thing. Now, you can do it. And prayer introspection is when you make that claim and experience it. You say, well, I still haven't experienced the Bentley. Well, that's because that's not your thing. And you say, well, that's an easy out. No. The minute the Bentley is your thing, you will have it, and you will have as many as you want. You'll have one for London, you'll have one for in Campo, you'll have one for in Nigeria, or maybe two in Nigeria, you know, for the various uses you put them to. And maybe you have, and of course, your Bentley is designed to have air suspension. So that as it goes over the road, it can go over any road. You can go through the jungle. And it will be as though it's on a perfect road. Driving smooth and wonderfully. Air suspension. They have cars like that. They are noisy. But they have cars like that. Now, is yours noisy?
No.
No. Yours is just a whisper. It's just a whisper. I was standing in front of your house, and some cars were going by, and the cars were going like this, shh, 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 just a whisper. And I thought, my goodness, isn't that quiet? Isn't that beautiful? Not isn't that. It is quiet. It is beautiful. My goodness. Now, years ago, we would have never dreamed of that. We would have dreamed of noisy cars because that's what they were. Now, the air car, using air suspension, is noisy. You know, blowing out wind and keeping it up in the air. Well, now, will that have a whisper too? And then no whisper even? It'll just be electronically held in space, not by air. It'll just be floating where you want it to be. And that's not unusual. Because that's now already in the planning and in the programming. It's just that to manufacture such vehicles at the moment is an expensive proposition. But it'll be nothing to it as they redefine some of the engineering of it and make it more simple and more beautiful and more accessible. But it's a great thing. You have that introspective self of yourself that you can use. I know. It's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that just because you're teaching something, you've got to go do the work for the student. And you say to the student, come up and write on the blackboard 2 times 2, yeah, and say what it is. And teacher, what's the matter, teacher? Are you stupid? You don't know what it is? You know? This happens a lot. This happens a lot between students and teachers. Students want the teacher to do it. Why does the teacher want the student to do it? Why will the teacher not write on the board 2 times 2 is 4?
To make the student understand it.
What?
To make the student understand it, do it themselves, and they remember.
When the teacher, by repetition, makes the student do it, they gain the skill of it and the understanding of it. And as they gain the skill of it and the understanding of it, it's theirs. Now, if the teacher did all of it for everybody, now, you know, and I know, both all of you know, that when you have a problem with your computer, and you take it to the computer store, and you say, this is my problem, and they say, brrr, oh, there, I said, okay now, but what did you do? Well, brrr, what did you do? Brrr, you know, and they do it so quickly, you don't understand what it is. They say, that's nothing to it. You know, I don't want to come in here every time I have that problem, and I have it now and then, that crash, and everything. Show me what you did. Well, I did, brrr, well, now go slow. Boop, 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 boop. They haven't the capacity to do that because they're not teachers. What they are is they are geniuses in their field, and they just go, burp. The teacher is able to back off and say, okay, now what's the first key you press? Well, I press this one. And now what's the next key you press? I press this one. Now what's the next one you press? I press this one. And the next one? I press this one. And the next one, whoops, that was a mistake. That didn't bring you that. See, there's where you made a mistake now. Go back. What's the key you should press there? You thought you should press this one? Nope. That didn't. Let's just press another one. Nope. Press another one. Nope. Press another one. Nope. You know, just undo, undo, undo. And so finally you come up with one that works. You say, oh, that's the key. Well, I showed you before. You know, yeah, thanks a lot, you know. And so, but until the student himself, herself, can understand what the key strokes are, can understand what has to be done, then what happens? Nothing happens. He feels confused, he feels irritated, he feels frustrated, he feels unlearned, and that's unfortunate. Now, how can he get to the point where he can accomplish these things himself? He accomplishes these things himself when he knows that it is done inside of himself, and then he does it. Now, all of us can do that. All of us can know that it's done inside of ourselves and have it be done. But to do it demands that we do it ourselves. We do it ourselves. I oftentimes went to Daniel and I'd say, Daniel, how do you do this or how do you do that? And he'd go, you know, and I'd say, thanks a lot, Daniel. What did you do? Oh, it's all done. No problem. You won't have any problem with that. Well, Daniel, I want to know how you did it. Yes. And so then he says, okay, dumb cuff, here's what I did. I did this and I did that. And I say, well, thanks a lot. Already I'm irritated, already I'm not in the learning mode because he called me a dumbkopf, you know, and already I'm just not happy at all. And so I go away to somebody else and I ask them the question. And then they give me the answer as a proper teacher would, not like a genius that he was, just doing it. And so they show me like a teacher, step by step by step, and I say, oh, yes, I see it now. Ah, yes, I always knew that, but I didn't do these steps correctly. You know? Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Daniel, as wonderful as he is, was he a blessing to me? No. He was a blessing to me insofar as I didn't stay with him on that, but I went to somebody else who was able to take it step by step with me and let me feel confidence in myself as I did it. Ellen goes down to Apple Store, and at the Apple Store she has one-on-one training. And one-on-one training means she gets an hour of training once a week with a $90 payment a year. So every week for 52 weeks she gets an hour of training, which is pretty good. And so she goes down there, and sometimes she gets these young people who are great Appleites, you know, and they teach her, and she says, oh, and they say, come on, no, it's this much, no, it's this, you know, like wanting to push her into doing it. And they're so eager to have her do it, they just didn't know how to teach. And then she has Gertrude. Gertrude is a young lady who Ellen just has simpatico with. She is just one with this young lady. And this young lady teaches her and makes Ellen feel beautiful, makes her feel wise, makes her feel that she knows a lot more than she knows she know, does know.
She thinks she knows.
Mm-hmm. Really good. And so whenever she goes there, she says, I hope I get Gertrude. And I said, you won't. I said, is Gertrude your instructor, your special person? Yes. Then do you have her all the time? Yes. Then shut up. Know that every time you go in there, you're assigned to Gertrude, and Gertrude's assigned to you. It's just the luck of the Irish. It's just the way it's to be. It's just the way that you put the cause in motion, and that's the way it is to happen. And so most of the time she does it. Sometimes she has a little doubt in herself, and she gets somebody else. But it's a good experience for her to get somebody else, because then she realizes how good Gertrude is. Because Gertrude makes her feel good with each of her little insignificant points. And then Gertrude says, by the time they're in the middle of the lesson, all right, that's fine now. Are there any other questions? No? Okay, then we have time left, so let's just go into this new lesson here. Let's go into this new area. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And so she goes into new areas, which she never did with the other teachers, because with the other teachers, by the time she's done, she says, I didn't even understand half of what we did, where we went, and how we got there. And you see, that's the art. Now, if Ellen understands, then she is a magic lady. If Ellen doesn't understand, then she feels like a fool. Now, is Ellen a fool? No.
No.
But she feels like that because the instructor she had did not communicate with her, did not get her to understand. If they would have said, Ellen, or Mrs. Jeremy, stop. You have these questions. All right, let's take your first question. Your first question is, how do I press a button? You know, and so they say, now, Ellen, Mrs. Jeremy, you choose a button. Well, here, this control button. And then they say, okay, now, what happens when you press the control button? Well, I don't know. Well, let's try it. Press it and look at the keyboard, look at the screen. All right, now press control and some other button, and press control and this button. Now, try them all out. That's what kids do. They try them all out and figure out, and they remember them. And then, as you remember them, then whenever you press that control button, you will know what it does, because you have practiced it, and I have made you stop and practice it. Well, I could have done that at home, but you didn't. Yeah. So, I'm giving you that lesson. Now, the next lesson is to go to control. What does the control button do on a Macintosh computer? What does a space button do on a Macintosh computer? What does FM, special button do on a Macintosh, where it takes the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and makes it into something else on the top row? And how does it change your numbers list, and how to change all sorts of things, you know. And and as you learn them little by little by little by little, you see, again, with any computer, you buy a computer and it has tutorials on it. Now, how many people learn the tutorials? None. Very few. But if you would take each tutorial and give it the time, it takes about a half an hour, 3/4 an hour, and learn it, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and then forget it. Then go on to the next tutorial, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and then the next tutorial, do it again, and not try to make them bounce out together. Then you start using the machine, and all the things you learned on your tutorials fall into place, because you really knew it. The tutorials merely reintroduced you to the fact that you knew it. And this is how a master works with a student. He reintroduces them to what they already know. and helps them to analyze and to use what they know in a constructive, beneficial way in their life. It's a wonderful thing. But it's what is being done, it's how it's being done, and it's the way that it's being done. Now, can you do that for yourself? Sure. Do you have to feel that someone else should do a miracle for you?
No.
Not really. Not really. We have this very mixed up kid called Endless. And Endless has a talent of taking a hold of a baby and holding the baby, and the baby instantly coos and bills in his arms, you know, and is happy. Now, Endless loves children. Endless loves these things. Why doesn't Endless make his life career working with children, working with babies, working with these things, because he's so talented in that? But instead, what does he do? He works with computers. And in working with computers, he allows himself to be less than perfect. He allows himself not to make every button on the computer do exactly what he wants it to do. How do you spell I when it's your personal pronoun? How do you spell it?
Me. I.
Capital I.
Okay.
Capital I, not lowercase I. Lowercase I means that you're not really paying attention. And so, of course, if you go through the Microsoft Word and you use that, and it automatically capitalizes your I if it's hanging out there by itself.
Yes.
And it automatically capitalizes the first word of a paragraph and things like that. It does a lot of things for you. Really good. I miss that. Mm-hmm. But in Apple, we don't have that, but we can. And they're improving their program too. But the thing is, why? Why is it that when a person has such a glorious talent and they know they have it, they don't utilize it? They don't really work in that harmony of that talent. Now, what could he do if he were to work with children? Just imagine if he were to work in a hospital with children. All of the children would be fantastic. If he would work in a home for orphanage for children, what he would do, if he would work in a preemie ward, you know, where the newborn babies are born underweight or under whatever, and they need a lot of extra attention. Can you imagine? His vibrations toward children is so impressive that he would be with every child in the preemie ward, and if he just touched them or just walked near them, they would be blessed by his presence. But he doesn't do that. Now, he'd rather work with computers, and he'd rather do all the other things he's doing, and that's fine. People have a right to be what they think they should be. But people ask me, Herb, what should I do? How should I handle my life? Where should I go? What things are important to me? And I tell them. And then they go and do what they want to do anyhow, which is perfectly okay too. But the thing is, if they do what I tell them to do, they will succeed. They will succeed beautifully. But they cannot do what I tell them to. Yes. They cannot. Chrissy knows from experience. They cannot do what I tell them to do because they have a mind of their own, you know. And sometimes it's just a matter of being opposite, just a matter of being obstreperous, just a matter of being disagreeable. Because I say things, and they say, I can do that myself. I have a better idea. I have a better way of doing it. And then they work at it, and it's not a better way. But it's okay. It's perfectly okay. You know. Now, you see, we have the wonderful concept here about prayer and introspection and understanding. And as we have this concept, what does it tell to us? With prayer and introspection come the awareness that all is. With understanding comes the capacity to apply it to any given field or any given area that we want to use it. Now, what area do we want to use anything in our life? Well, to be happy. Now, Chrissy says, in 5 years I want to retire. And when I retire, I will have enough money to live on, and I'll be very comfortable, and I can do anything I choose to be. 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 Now, what does she choose to be? What is she going to apply herself to in 5 years? Is she in her spare time now, which she hasn't too much of, but in her spare time now, does she apply herself to the direction of what she would like to do when she retires? What's she going to do when she retires? Is she just going to sit back and eat bonbons, you know? What's she going to do? Is she going to be a minister? Is she going to have a church? Is she going to have a counseling organization? Is she going to have... What's she going to have? Now, she doesn't have to tell herself or anybody else, but she should have some dream in her heart that she wants to carry out, which is your personal life, but some dream that is so exciting and important to you that you want to do it. However, if you don't have that dream and you retire, you will just retire and feel meaningless. That's why most people die after they retire, because they have nothing to excite them, nothing to encourage them, nothing to make their life a vital, dynamic thing. But you can. You can. Now, has Sybil retired? Yeah, several times. And when you retired, what did you do? You had enough to live on. You had enough to be comfortable. But the thing is, that wasn't enough for you. You had to go out and get yourself an education. You had to go out and get yourself your coursework in the uni. You had to develop a center. You had to develop all these things. And then, at first, when you developed them, you thought, I am doing this for others. And then you woke up. And you woke up to the realization that you're not doing this for others. You're doing it for
yourself,
because you're being yourself and having fun. You're being yourself and having fun. And so you cannot make a mistake in being yourself and having fun when you do it for yourself. You follow me? So when people came along in your life and they just were unkind because that was their nature, instead of being disturbed by them, as you are not now, you just said, hey, if you want to be part of our team, great. If you don't, great. No problem. I don't need you and want you or anything. I'm not trying to tell you that I don't love you and want you to be in my world. But I don't need you to make me feel happy. I don't want you to make me feel like I've done a good job. I only want you to do whatever is right for you. Because whether you live or die, whether you breathe or don't breathe, doesn't mean a thing to me. And that's not an unkind statement. That's merely a fact that, hey, I've let you walk your way, however you choose. Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Now, as Seville has come to the point of view of saying, it's okay. Now you're getting ready to retire. You've got 5 years to go. And so now you're working with your superiors, your supervisors, and various other people. If you go in and talk to those people, as you are doing, with the confidence and with the realization that you know what you're talking about, and you know what you expect, and you know what the hospital is trying to do, make money. You know what the institution is trying to do as far as service and be acceptable in the community as a adequate, viable hospital. You know that, and you say, no, the best way we can do it is to do our job well, but to specialize. If we don't specialize, because we are not a general hospital, if we don't specialize, then we won't do our job good. But when we specialize, then we have the best of whatever our specialty is, whether it's surgery or whatever it may be. And we have the best, the best. We have people wanting to be here because we are a research organization. We are a research hospital. We are looking into the possibilities of solving these problems that the world has. We are many, many other things. But you see, you knowledgeably get yourself into the field of what a hospital thinks and doesn't do, and you present this to your supervisors. You present this to everybody, and you just are a walking dictionary of exquisiteness of hospitals. See? Now, as you do that, you have fun. You have fun. You might even retire to be the chief executive officer of the hospital. Retire. And as you retire as the chief executive officer of the hospital, you just... Duh, 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 duh. You say, all right, today we're going to work on the project of having a better in-outpatient relationship with the community here. And I want all of you to come with suggestions and put them on my desk, and so I will study them, and then tomorrow morning I'll begin to look at them carefully. And I want you to bring it in, and I want you to look up on the internet and tell me whatever the internet says on this. I want you to do this and do this. Now, I want it all on my desk tonight. So tomorrow morning I can look at it, and I can give it some attention. Now, please do that. And then you take your golf clubs and you go play some golf, you know, or whatever. But the thing is, what am I suggesting you to do? I'm suggesting that be your imaginative, creative self. And you're little by little, you're showing us that you can do it. The way you're handling your supervisors now and talking to them, and the way you're presenting them with your new ideas and your great ideas and how they are responding to you, you're doing just wonderful. You're walking down that road in a perfect way. You understand?
Thank you.
Well, you are. You are. Yeah. And you too, you can see that, can't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you're not going to surprise us, but you're going to be playing golf whenever you wish. Or whatever else turns you on. Maybe if you're taking your grandson, your out to play in the park or whatever, you know. Who knows? Who knows what you do? Who knows? But you'll do it. And you'll have a lot of fun. You are fantastic. How are we doing here? Oh. 46. So, that's where we are for the moment. I love you.